On. Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for November 2nd, 2025. Can't believe it. Cannot believe it. Cricket Rumley is a film festival strategist for filmmakers, a cash flow tiger. He's also an educator. Victory Report. A few weeks ago, I shared with you a concern about a client who had a film production deal with a friend go horribly awry, and Christine and Miata coached me on ways to handle the situation, and I'm pleased to report that he's taken steps towards what we had determined was the best case, lowest risk scenario, to buy his collaborator out of the deal so that he has full ownership of the project. Yay! I'm really proud of myself for sticking to my guns and not ignoring my gut instincts. I gave the best advice I could with integrity, and I feel really good about it. And it looks like he's going to be a client for a good part of 2026. Yes. So this is just something to kind of a little touchstone to keep in your pocket of like, I just have to call it like I see it, even if it's something the person doesn't want to hear, even if that's not what they actually came to me for. This happens all the time. It's like, I will coach people and they think we're going to talk about this and we end up really talking about something else. And they're like, oh, I had no idea, but it makes sense. Good job. If you
Thank you.
lead with just having their best interests at heart, which is very different than trying to please them, having their best interests at heart is different than trying to please them. And as a coach, if you come from the point of view of always having your clients' best interests at heart, and sometimes that's you don't need to coach with me. You should go to see this person, or you should see a therapist first and then a coach. Like, if you lead with their best interests at heart and then stay in your own integrity, you are golden. You'll be fine. So, well
Thank
done.
you.
Yeah. Okay. So you have two really good questions. So you wrote, I just agreed to develop a 90-minute webinar for Stage 32, a very successful online company dedicated to filmmaker education. They came to you. Victory, congratulations. The downside is it's on a topic adjacent to my film festival work. So I'll need to do some serious research to pull it all together. And they have a quick deadline for an outline and a description in 3 weeks. And then the class is in 6 weeks. So part of me is thinking, what did I do? I agreed to do this on such a tight timeline. Am I even qualified to talk about this? Because I haven't done the research yet. And who am I to teach on this topic? And do I even think there's a good answer to the topic, the thesis question, which is how to monetize your short film? Another part of me is like, I should totally do this because I'm the mama bear for indie filmmakers. And I know they're being taken advantage of by people trying to take advantage. I know I will put together something with thought, intention, and integrity. I also know it won't be perfect, and I hate that, but I already have some good ideas. So, okay. Yeah. Oh, I know this feeling very, very, very
I
intimately.
love hearing your voice. You read it in your voice.
Oh.
That is awesome.
Okay. So let me just ask a few Christine Aller questions first, and then we'll get to what you're talking about. So are you being paid?
I am being paid, and also, it is definitely a rate that hourly is not going to work in my favor, but in terms of building a long-term relationship, it is.
Good. I'm just happy you're getting the long-term relationship benefit and a little bit of cash,
Yes.
which is
Yes.
you stepping up, as we all do, like the different stages of giving talks, the long-term benefit only, but then that plus payment, always good. So,
Love that.
congratulations on that. And are they going to like record you? Do they get to keep that in perpetuity? Do you get to teach this again if you want to teach it again?
Yes, to all those questions. They record it. They do put it, it is a subscription service and people can download it. And also, and what really, really interested me is that they refresh the recordings as needed. So I'm very concerned about it not being perfect and the industry changing, but at the same time, they're like, we know the industry changes and we can always update it and you'll get paid again.
Oh, great. Okay. That you get paid again. That's excellent.
Yes.
And could you teach this material somewhere else?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, great. So, where are you at right now in your head between the two? Like, what did I just do? And no, it's going to be fine.
Well, today I sat down and really looked at a calendar, and I've already been brainstorming. It is a topic that I have been thinking about for a bit, and just thinking I need to figure out like what are ways for filmmakers to achieve this, or and also warn them about the people who are trying to tell them they can do that, but then asking them to pay. Some of my filmmakers got an email from what I thought was a reputable festival this week saying, hey, monetize your film this way. And I'm like, what? Has anyone even talked to an attorney yet? It was the weirdest, like, fill out this and you'll make money. So I do feel like I sat down and I just thought, okay, I have 3 weeks until the outline is due. And what are the things that I would want to talk about? What are some ways to monetize? And also, what are questions to ask in the process? And that's where I think I'm going to be really helpful, is not just here's how to do it. It's super easy, because it's not, but these are things to be on the lookout for. And also, here are some thoughts about how to get creative in the process and how to DIY this monetization. And so I do have some phone numbers. I have people and contacts that I can call and just say, hey, tell me what your thoughts are on your part neck of this woods.
Yeah. So, and remember, 90 minutes sounds like a whole long time. It's not.
It's
It's
not.
you don't have to
Okay.
give them everything. You don't need to research the fuck out of this. You just, it's basically a two-part presentation. The part about
Okay.
how can they get creative and make money off their film? And then the second part is how not to lose money trying to make
Yes.
money on their film. That's equally important. Yes, it would be great for you to make money, but also, even if you just don't lose money, you're putting yourself ahead of the game.
Right.
Yeah. And
Right.
then you can pull in like this person recommended this and this person recommended this, and here's something to think about that's creative. And are there is there going to be a Q&A section?
Yes. So 60-minute presentation, 30-minute Q&A.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to adjust that slightly. So you have to keep this in mind. There's going to be an introduction. It'll probably
Okay.
start late. So there's like, 5 to 10 minutes off the top. There's section one, and then there's section two, and then there's the Q&A, but then there's the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up the Q&A. Really great questions. I love that you have them. I love that you have more. And some of you might need a private, some private time with someone to really get all of these answered. So it's okay to stop the Q&A before all the questions are answered, because there's only
Okay.
time, but you want the last 10 minutes to be. Now I want to hear, what is the golden nugget or pearl of wisdom or whatever you'd like to call it that made coming today worthwhile? What is the thing you're like, oh, that was really good? And then you pop around, whoever wants to just raise their hand on the Zoom or whatever, since it's going to be an interactive thing where you can take questions. And if sometimes the questions aren't done verbally, they're done in the chat, but you could just say post in the chat. I want to, and then you read the chat and you're like, oh, Timothy said, da 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 da. That is set, and you'll have little coachings. You'll probably little words you'll add as you
Okay.
hear the golden nuggets. But what's important about that is whether the people are verbalizing it or you are verbalizing what they're writing. What they leave with is a reminder of all the good points that were said today. Oh yeah, that. Oh yeah, that. Oh yeah. And then they leave like, wow, that had a lot of golden nuggets. Like that was really good.
Yes.
And it leaves a
Okay.
good taste in their mouth for you and their choice to be here. Because if you just do Q&A, you could hit somebody with just this boring, suck the energy right out of the room, weird question that goes on too long, or there's persnickety and it's just weird. And then you're like, okay, well, guys, that's all the time we have. Oh, it's just such a dud note. It could be such a like, oh, I want to hear what really like sizzled your brain today, or what, you know? Yeah. That's a better way to end.
It is going to be one of those webinars where you don't see the participants, but I can ask them to put it in the chat.
And then just read their name and
Yes.
take your time. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, and so and so said, just go, oh, look, this is a good one. Ileana said that this was what she got from today. That's such an important point. And so and so said that you just have to read off like seven of them to sort of give that feeling of like, wow, yeah. And everybody else is reading the chat along with you. So they're being reminded too. And it is also, I think, when you really, as the presenter of something, really hold the reins of the time, you do your bit of educating, then you're like, now we're going to shift into Q&A. Okay, now we're going to shift out of Q&A into this. This is what I want now. It's like you're in charge, and it's just that leadership energy. And people trust you when you are able to lead them through 90 minutes on time and in a way that feels organized and not haphazard. And that is where speakers, as I've said here before, fall. They want to present too much information, which means they run out of time, which means they cram information in at the end, eating away at Q&A, or they cram it in and then just end on Q&A. And it's like, okay, we ran out of time. Yeah, don't do that because your personality is so vivacious and effervescent that that's what you want them to have at the end. You don't want someone with a weird question and you kind of peter out and then time runs out and then it's like, bye. That's doing you a disservice. So all of that to say, you don't have to research that much. You know, get five or so points, you know, or 3 points for the second, how not to lose money, 5 points for how to make money. And then, like, really communicate them and explain them.
It's really interesting to hear you say that because the person who hired me to do this, I actually saw do a live 90-minute masterclass recently, and her energy was so intense and she was speeding through everything and I was exhausted at the end. And I like her a lot and I could tell she was really like excited and passionate about what she was talking about.
Yeah, I used to do that. I was like a tidal wave of information back when I was organizing and would give talks. It was just like I tried to tell them everything about everything. And I was like, oh, people are like so stunned by the end, and they don't want any more to do with you. They feel they've got plenty from you. You want to leave them wanting more. Yeah. And people need time to absorb too, to have some pauses when you talk so they can be like, because they're thinking about their life as it applies to what you're talking about. And they're putting, you know, just it helps to make you a better speaker if you watch what you're thinking about when you're listening to a webinar that you're really interested in. And notice, like, oh, wow, I'm sitting here and I'm actually not even listening to this point she's talking about because I'm still back on that other thing that I'm like, oh, sometimes people are, yeah, it helps you.
That's really helpful.
And I actually, oh, go ahead.
Take pauses, and I do not need as much information as I think.
No, I would say, what are the, if I could only tell them five things, what are those five things? And maybe it's only three. Maybe you want to go in depth a little bit more into three. I mean, you want to give them like practical, applicable information, rather than just a long list. And I actually think that this particular topic is great for you to have in your toolkit because it's so sexy. It's so sizzly. How to monetize my film. Like, that's one of those things, like, yes, tell me that. And you can, in that second part of your talk, which is how not to lose the money, that's where you're really introducing them to how you think and how what the help you give to filmmakers. Like, I want to make sure I'm protecting you from you, from yourself. And then also the people who are, out to grift of you. So yeah. So I think this is a good one to have because you could certainly do it in so many different festivals and places. And yeah.
This is really helpful.
Good, good. Okay, so then your second question was, any thoughts on how to manage doing an overview of projects at the year's end? How do I get things done to wrap up the year and set myself up for 2026 success? How to achieve in the last 6 weeks leading up to Christmas? I know it's pretty crazy. We have 7 weeks until Christmas and then 2 weeks after that before the end of the year. So,
And Thanksgiving.
right, and Thanksgiving. Then you have before Thanksgiving, then you have between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then you have a little bit at the end of the year. Yep, the 500. So I have four words for you that I'd want you to explore before we start talking about like what to do and when to do and how to do it. And blah, 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 blah. So the first word is realistic. Want everyone thinking about like, hey, I'm just gonna like make the most of the end of the year. It's like, okay, well, let's be realistic. And these are not in order. They're in tandem. All four of these are like equal. So one of them is realistic. How much energy do you have now that's the end of the year? How much time do you actually have? What else is on your schedule already? Doctor's appointments, whatever. So I've got to go to this thing for this. Like, what is the actual amount of time that you have for your projects between now and the end of the year? So let's be really realistic. The next word is texture. Because I can't actually answer the question of how do I make an overview so that I'm da, da, da. It's like, well, I don't know what kind of texture you want this last part of the year to have. Is this the type of year where you're like balls to the wall, finally my space opens up and I can just do it? Or is it, well, I kind of get warm and cozy during this time of year. I kind of like things to slow down, actually. Or it's going to be really busy until here and then it could slow down. So I would like to take advantage of like, what is during these three little sections, what are the te is the texture you want? And so the realistic part is also understanding the texture you want so that when you set your goals and expectations, you're not going to disappoint yourself because in reality, you want to slow down and be cozy. Like, if that's the reality, I want, because you're never going to have another end of 2026. I mean, 2025. This is the one you're going to get. And so it's like, we don't want to treat it. It's just like another 6 weeks to go, go, go. It's like, it's its own little container. So the third word is priorities. Sometimes at the end of the year, work is the priority. It's like, oh, I can't wait to like get some time to like really get on these projects. Other times in other years, the holidays are the priority, or travel is the priority, or just slowing down and having some space to myself is the priority. So you want to go, what is, it's not just texture-wise, but also priority-wise. Is work first and then kind of personal stuff, or is personal stuff first and then work? And that also plays into how you're going to portion out your time and energy. So we have realistic texture priorities. And then the fourth word is the one no one thinks of. It's release. Meaning, what on your list of priorities and to-dos can be released if something happens? You don't want to do it. Time interferes. Something crazy happens to the world. Like, it is one of the most important things to make goals work, is to know what can fall off the end of the cliff if something has to fall off the end of the cliff. And what people do, unfortunately, is they make their little priority list and to-do list, and they tell themselves, well, these all have to be done and they're all equally important. And I used to do that. And then I kill myself to get them all done. And then, as I got older, I was like, okay, I can't do that anymore. So then it was like, okay, based on the last decade, I realized that some things, this is like me in my mid-30s, oh, some things are probably not going to get done. So if I identify what can not get done in advance, then when it hits and I'm like, oh, I cannot get this to this person, I've already, decided that that's the thing that's going to fall. Because what 2025 has taught us is unexpected things are just going to happen. And not just things that interfere with your schedule, but things that interfere with your energy and your heart. Because like there's lots of hits we've taken this year, already. And we want to understand that another one of those hits might come along. What of these all important, wonderful things that you really want to get done could go? Even if you had to tell someone, we have to move the deadline, or I can't deliver on that, who would you disappoint in this list? Like, that's fine. And everyone understands, no big deal. You're not doing brain surgery. So, those four words, getting clear on those, then you're ready to start making the list of priorities and making the list of goals and going, okay, how much time do I actually have? And then how much do I think I can get done? And what am I just not going to get to till 2026? And really, another thing, if we were like talking about this, I would want to know, because you've said set myself up for 2026. What does that mean? What is it is in your, how would you know by the end of 2025? What would you look around to and actually see that would let you know, huh, okay, I feel satisfied that I've set myself up for the new year. Like, what is that? Because if you don't identify that clearly, then you're just working, 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 working. And then your to-do list is still there because it always just keeps growing. And so you're like, you never know when you're done. Or when you're like, oh, good job, satisfied. That's enough for this year.
I think it's a couple of different things. One is at my day job, I really need to look at all the intake system for meeting with students and the way that I'm sharing information with them. That's become more and more apparent to me. And I have some ideas that I think I have to prioritize putting this in place to make it easier for me next year, to make it easier for them, of course, but also easier for me. And
Okay, so that is the
say that again. That is what?
I was going to say that is the type of goal that you actually have to clear space to do. Like it might be,
Yes.
how many hours do you actually need to think about it and revamp some things and write
Yes.
out the next, and then what is going to fall off the cliff when you rent
Yes.
a room in the
Okay.
course of your normal work is what I'm, what I mean.
Right. That's a really good question. I think there are a couple of things that I feel like I have to prioritize in order just for my sanity.
Yeah.
And one is completing Launch into Abundance. This is my third try. So, and I usually am there for a few, 3 to 4 or 5 weeks. And then I fall, it gets much harder. And I travel a lot, and it's the travel that is disruptive.
Yeah, understand.
And so I am super committed to doing it this time.
Okay.
And I have been asking myself, how am I making that possible? And what are the buckets of time or the places in my calendar that I'm blocking off every week to do this? So I'm really happy about that. And then in terms of what's going on at school, I think I'm just going to have to give up a Saturday and go in when no one's there. And
Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Are you saying you're not going to get paid? You're going to go in on a Saturday unpaid to deal with systems for them?
oh, I'm on salary, so
Okay. Still don't like it. I still don't like it. How?
but I'll take another day off. Don't worry, my best friend's coming to town, so I'll trade a Saturday for a Monday. And just a time when no one's going to knock on the door.
Agreed. Yeah. Because my next question would be like, is there a day of the week? Like, okay, so we have like 7 weeks or 6 weeks. So every Friday at noon for the next 6 weeks,
Oh,
you
okay.
shut your door and put a little note on it, say, working on a project. And then you just take noon to the end of the day every single Friday. And you teach people you will not be disturbed by not answering your phone and not answering the door. And then you work on that project. People never try that, so they never know if it works, because I understand, and this is true for everybody, especially those folks who have a job, and especially folks on salary. You have enough work to fill 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So the idea of ever getting on top of it is neither here nor there. And so the idea of like, well, there's just too much work during normal business hours to do this. Now, I'm totally fine if you swap a weekend day and then take a day off. I'm okay with that. But a lot of people go in on the off hours or stay late because it's quiet and no one's disturbing you. But your salary decreases every time you're working longer than you're being paid for, or longer than the scope of your normal business hours are. And for projects like the one you're talking about, which are important but not urgent, for those important but not urgent things. And these are the things that really make a difference, because if you had an onboarding system that was smoother and built, oh my gosh, you'd save so much time and energy.
Exactly.
It is super important. And for those things, you have to just carve out the time and push everything away and be
Oh.
prepared that some things will fall off the cliff.
Okay.
That thing for Mary won't get done because you're doing this other thing. And you have to manage your own people-pleasing tendencies or anxiety tendencies. It's like you got to manage your own stuff, that is really the thing that gets in the way of you closing your door and taking the time that you need. We think it's other people. Oh, they just wouldn't interrupt me if just, duh. No. The reason you're letting them interrupt is because of your stuff that's going on inside you. Calm that down and tell yourself a story about how important this project is for everybody. And that will give you the strength to keep the door closed. Close it and keep it closed. And then, if you successfully teach people that from noon on Friday you're unavailable, I would just keep that going for the rest of the year, like 2026. Once you train them, why would we open that door again ever? Speaking as an introvert. would be an interesting experiment to see. Yeah, because here's the deal. You can do that Saturday swap once, but that's not, you're not going to be doing that six times, right?
No,
Yeah. So the project isn't probably going to get done in one day.
that is correct.
Yeah. So let's
That
be
is correct.
realistic, realistic, and know the texture you want, which is not rushed because it's the holidays. So I'm going to close my door every Friday, and I'm going to work on this, chip away at this project. Yeah. When I ran a theater, we had two theaters, and I also had two bosses who were married. And so one would walk in and say, "These are the things you need to get done." And then they would leave. And then the other one would come in and, "These are the priorities." And it was like, whoa. But there were a lot of things the theater needed for infrastructure, which is what you're talking about with this project. And then there were just all the things that were new things and other things. And if the reason I was so great and they loved me so much is because I was able to be like, this is the time I am carving out for the infrastructure stuff. And I'm going to do it until it's done, chipping away at the project. But if I didn't know to do that, those projects would never get done. Because life would just keep going. You got to take your boat out of the river and go, I'm going to sit on the bank of the river and do this thing, and then I'll get back in the water. And that's you being a leader. Yeah. Good questions.
Can I just ask you real quick? You said there were four words. Were the words realistic, texture, priorities, and release? Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is so helpful.
It's good. I like it. Who's next? That was our question. Now the floor is open. We can talk about anything you want about how to make cash flow into your life. Yes, Dorothy.
Here we go. There. Am I talking? Oh, yes. All right. Hello. Greetings from Culver City. So, I'm really, really booked and busy right now, directing, choreographing, doing all the things. And there's another piece that I would like to add, and I'm kind of hesitant because I'm not sure, A, if I have the time to even pursue this piece, and B, even where to start. So I'm in a Walmart commercial that's running right now. I don't know if you see me with Walton Goggins. I'm clogging. It's a whole thing. And they during the whole prep of it, they said, "Hey, do you know any choreographers?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And so I pitched myself and I booked that gig. And so in addition to being in the commercial, I choreographed the commercial and I have, yeah, like what? So now I'm like, okay. I mean, I knew I could, I had all the confidence in the world because I've been doing this forever, but it was a different medium in which to do this. So now I would like, I'm like, more please. So there's a couple, I've just been trying to find all the commercial production companies and, either But I don't know, should I cold call, cold email, see if I know any of the directors? Because I have worked with some. Thoughts?
My first thought is, what about getting an agent as a choreographer for the industry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget that those exist.
Yeah, because that would be ideal.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So
Yes.
as your commercial agency now, hey, how do I do this? Who do you recommend? Who do you know? And there are, at least back in the day, I mean, like, I've been out of the industry for so long, but there were several agencies that had like lots of departments, stunts, gymnasts, like, people who could do all sorts of specialty things. So you want to look for agencies that have those kinds of departments too. Like, if they have a stunt department, do they have a choreography? Like, do they do that kind of stuff too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, that's a great idea.
Because it's aligned with stunts in that the stunt people are there to do certain things that actors can't necessarily do. And choreographers are there to have the expertise to teach people to do stuff that they don't normally do necessarily. But yeah, so like sniff around, but I would the rest of the year, I would use this block time to find out, ooh, can I get an agent for this? And then once you understand the landscape, if that's possible, if they're out there, then if not, spend the first quarter of 2026 going, okay, who hires, like, who is the person on set who asked, does anybody know a choreographer? Who asked that question? Was it?
Yeah, it was the production manager.
Okay. So then it would be like you have the call sheet for that commercial. So contacting the production manager, go, hey, I would like to do this more. How do I do this? Who needs to know I exist in your world? Instead of, because that's the fastest way to get information, rather than pitching yourself. Yeah. It's just like, who needs to know I exist? Because this was awesome and I'm good at it. Kate.
Sarah put a post in the chat that I wanted to bring Dorothy's attention to with a
Oh.
couple of referrals for this exact thing. So,
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I'm a very like similar to Christine. Like, I was in the pro dance world very actively up until about 8 years ago. So I don't know if like post-pandemic things are like a whole different ball game. But these are agencies that were very top for like choreographers in when I was working.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And don't underestimate the fact that because you also work as an on-camera talent, like that is who people would want to have as a choreographer. You know how to relate to actors. You understand all the things about the space that you're going to be in. Like, you just know the lingo. You're comfortable on sets. Like, yeah, you're solving their problem by showing up in their lives going, hey, I just wanted to let you know I exist in case you need me. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay,
Yeah, because
Priscilla.
I, yeah, also I'll look for that agent and I'll report back and see,
Yeah,
tell you how it goes.
because I definitely think that this is something you could easily integrate into your life if you weren't the one having to pound the pavement to get the jobs.
I
Yeah.
agree.
Yeah.
Because I do these large productions that do take all this time, but a commercial is like a day of prep, a day of rehearsal, a day of shoot. And I can scooch that
Yeah, especially if you're getting paid.
For sure.
Yeah. 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 And thank you, Sarah. Good to see you. And thank you for that little tidbit. Good question. And I wouldn't be surprised if you're hired as the choreographer and you also appear on camera, like they just sort of like they did the reverse way this time. I think it will happen the reverse way for you the other time too, which will,
Oh, you're breaking up.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anna.
Hi, Christine. I want to walk. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay,
Yeah.
good. Hi, everyone. I want to walk because I simply can't be inside because I'm dealing with small bouts of small, ranging from small to large bouts of professional jealousy. And I just came to listen because Christine just sort of soothes my brain. But because there's time and the floor is open, I'm trying not to speak too loudly because I am in public. But there are actually two people that I went to school with that were in my program in college, and their careers have really like skyrocketed in a way that I'm just in a different place. And their paths, of course, would have been different because we were on slightly different tracks. Like I was always on the writer director track, and they were like more on the actor writer track. But one of them is like in movies with like, and like writing and directing for TV, and the other one is like show running her own show. And a lot of my peers are like, oh, do you want to get together like every week to watch this person's show? And I'm sort of like, I do not want to do that because I don't want to be upset. But I also know, and this is something that Eliana and I talk about a lot, like you have to be able to like watch stuff to know what's going on, what's being bought, what's being sold, like. So I guess I'm seeking some coaching around, because what happens is that I end up feeling frozen or feeling a little bit like, well, my work is so different to their work, and if that's not what, like if that's what's hot, I'm not making what's hot, and then the spiraling begins. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I feel I'm even like a little embarrassed to share, but I just, it's what's on my heart today. So that's me.
No, it's so brave of you to like, it's brave, but it's also generous. It's very generous of you to bring this topic to the call because we can't talk about it unless someone asks to talk about it. And this is one of those things that we don't want to talk about, you know? And it is so normal. It is so normal. I have raged in my house over professional jealousy. I have over opportunities that why is this not? I have thrown tantrums on my stairwell because the acoustics are really good. So if you really wanna like, it's great. Yeah, it's so normal and it's born, it's not really like I want to tear that person down. It's just sort of like, what? Why? I want this so much for me. I have this deep feeling of expansion and I want to have these experiences. And it's so hard to see somebody else getting to experience what you want. So I just want to say that, first of all. And the good thing about it is that you wouldn't feel professional jealousy for someone if you weren't so clear on what you wanted and you weren't knowing that you're willing to go for what you want. Because if you were just like, I don't really know what I want, I kind of want to work in the industry and I don't really want to get off this couch and do anything about it, you're jealous, would be a little bit jealous. But because you're like, no, I want to do this. The jealousy equals your passion about it. So at least we know your passion and desire is very healthy. So for that. As for what you said, just this little thing, you said, It's important to watch things that's out there and what's going on and how, Well, that's very different, like checking in on programs to see what's out there and like watching every episode of a series in a room with the people who are like, so no. That, let's just pull those two things apart. Very different. You can do your professional duty without having to sit on a show every single week. And it is true, and I think it just takes the time of life and life experience to get you to a point where you can have genuine joy for people's opportunities. And that's really possible when you feel very connected to your purpose and really loving your life. And that's not something you can fake. And it's not something you can like hurry up and get to. But I just want to say, like, in the future, I believe if you keep, you're reflecting right now, you're doing a lot of self-reflecting around this jealousy thing. And if you continue to do that in your life, you are going to land in a place where you're like, oh my God, I can feel so happy for other people. And it actually doesn't disturb me or where I'm at. Or how I feel about myself. So part of this is just where you're at in life. So I'm just sort of saying like, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You won't be like this forever, probably.
I appreciate that.
But then, like, what do you do? You're like in it, and it's so there on your, yeah. It's, yeah. Well, as with most things, it's really about the stories that you're going to now tell yourself. Because the feelings are feelings, and the feelings are going to come. We cannot disconnect from our feelings, but we can certainly disconnect from the energy we give the feelings, And we can drag our brains just away from their fixation on it. And you might have to drag it just like a puppy again and again and again. That's okay. That's fine. That's how you do it. That's how you train a little puppy. You're not mad at the puppy for being a puppy. Your brain is just like, oh, I want that. I want that. And you're like, yes, I totally get that. So then there's like categories of stories. You can tell yourself one day all the different stories about why they might be experiencing this at this point in their life and you're not, and you identified one. It's like, okay, well, they have been on a more performer track, at this, and maybe they're meeting people there. And then you can do some self-reflection and be like, okay, well, I can see where I'm actually not doing this sort of thing that they are doing, or they're willing to do this and I'm not willing to do that. And I don't even mean in like a laziness factor, but maybe there's just certain things integrity-wise you're not going to do and they're going to do, who knows? So you can explore the differences between, because the jealousy really roars if you're like, they're this and I'm the same and it's not working for me and it's working. It's like, well, you're not the same. So exploring the differences helps remind yourself. And if you're having one of those days where you have to go all the way to the extreme, I've said this before, just to get my brain. It's like your brain has a chew toy, like a puppy, and you just have to sometimes yank that thing out of the mouth. And one of the ways to yank that thing out of the mouth, I would tell myself the story. I don't know. Maybe they're going to die in 2 years. So they need to get all this stuff in their life now. Because, and would you want to trade places with them?
No.
Would you want to have that? And then, yeah, it's just one that sort of like resets real fast.
That's a really good one.
Yeah,
I mean, it's dark, but
it's effective. Yeah, it's really effective. It's effective because we also don't know what's going on behind the scenes in somebody's life. You know that old phrase, don't judge your insides on someone else's outsides because you don't know what their insides is like. And very often, if you knew, you would not trade it. You would not trade it. And So it some of the stories to tell yourself is like, this looks great. And I would want that if it was the way I thought it, think it is. But maybe I'm dodging a bullet here that I don't know or that I can't see. And back in the day, you know, when these actresses were getting meetings with all these producers, well, now we know how some of those meetings were going. Like, oh, and at that time there were a ton of actors going, why am I not getting called up to the hotel room? Why don't I have a meeting at the Chateau Marmont? You know, we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. That's another good one for your brain. It's like, you don't know what you don't know about this. I hope it's as joyful as it looks. Another good thing is to collect a little bag, and this sounds morbid as fuck, but collect a little bag when you hear those stories for real, where it was like, you know, that actress who is gorgeous and she was one of the kids on Modern Family. So she's on this sitcom for like 10 years. She's getting super famous. She's gorgeous. She's rich. And she's also like having kidney problems the whole time. And Lena Dunham, while she was doing Girls at the height of her fame, getting nominated for Emmys, having endometriosis issues where she was like lying on the floor between takes. It's like, do you want? Because when we want what someone has, we'd have to have the whole package. And we don't know what the whole package is. But you know what we know? We know what's in our life. So then, when you pull your brain away from that stuff, you can't just pull it away. You have to like send it somewhere. You have to give it a new chew toy. And the best thing for it to chew on is gratitude. You just go right to gratitude about like, maybe my career, maybe this is exactly what's supposed to happen. And I don't know what's down the line for me. And what could be super popular right now that that's like this, I'm not the flavor of the month right now, but my flavor might be the next thing. There's part also, this is a harder thing, but surrendering to the mystery of it all. For some reason, Anna, you were put on earth at this particular time. In this body, with this brain, with this set of gifts, you didn't decide, like you just plunked here and you're making the best of it. And that's all that you're actually meant to do is to create a texture of life that you love. I used to always say, I don't, my goal isn't to be the most successful person in the room. My goal is to be the person in the room who's enjoying their success the most. Because very often the most successful person in the room isn't actually enjoying it. There are therapists in Hollywood who their whole clientele are award winners. Because they have to deal with the feelings that come after the award, after they get the thing they've been chasing, or the jealousy that could, like, oh, it can be a very disruptive thing in life to win a big award. So you don't know. You don't know. And the more you can remind yourself that you don't know, the looser the grip on that kind of stuff gets. It'll flare up because you're human and you have a robust desire. And when someone else gets something, this was like the earliest lesson I learned. I'm just reiterating it. I'm sure we've all heard it because it was an early one. When someone gets something, you don't suddenly not get something. Like you're exactly where you were. No matter what's happening over here with this person, you're still where you were. So there's no zero sum. Where if someone moves up, another person moves down. And it's like, I'm on my own path. You know? Yeah. So I've just said a lot of things. How are they like landing on you in the thick of the moment?
Really good. I think I needed to hear the reminder of we're just all in different lanes. Like everyone's on their own path. And sometimes it's hard. In other moments, like when I feel like I have been calling them like butterfly years and cocoon years, like there are butterfly years where I feel like I'm making a lot of work and I'm very like, you know, my shorts are in festivals or I'm like getting these grants or whatever. But this year, and as it's like a year of reflection and like doing some of the stuff that the first person was talking about, it's I'm taking a lot of time. You know, this year was a big cocoon year, sort of preparing the next butterfly, but the butterfly is something that I haven't, it's at a different scale that I haven't done before. I'm working towards my first feature and, you know, it's totally different than making a short. And so all of these things are just like, it's easy to get impatient, I think, for me. And it's seeing other people who are my age, who were in classes with me. Sometimes it's a little like, wait, like every you're going so much faster than me and I can't keep up. But I don't know, like I don't know what their parents provided them. Like, I don't know what their, you know, just like what their finance, I know what my finances looked like and how I needed to like, and how I continue to need to work in order to pay my rent. And just like certain things that didn't allow me kind of the same fast track that a lot of people from my school got just because of the nature of the program that we were in. But I need to trust the process and trust my what you're saying about purpose and timing. And you said this in a call a while ago, but it's something that I've been journaling about a lot recently, which is about like dancing with the universe and not like working against it. And I think I'm also watching Dancing with the Stars right now, and we're doing like just thinking about some of the more like dances that are a little less synchronous. I feel like that's how I feel with the universe right now, but I have to remember that we're a team and together. And but yeah, but I feel thank you so much. I always feel better when I hop onto these calls and just get guidance from you. So I'm grateful and I'm appreciative of everyone hearing, kind
Well,
of
that
hearing
makes
along.
my day. That just makes my day hearing that because we're all in it together, you know. And the only reason I can give any guidance about anything is because I've like experienced the stuff and been in it, you know. That's the only way you get true wisdom about stuff is mucking, going through the muck yourself. But I also love collecting stories about people's their real roads. But like Steve Carell, he didn't really break out until The Office, and he was in his 40s. I think he was 42. And if you look at all the people he came up with, I mean, starting way back in, I think it was Second City for him, but like Paul Rudd was popping, like, you know, all these people were getting the movies and Saturday Night Live and all his contemporaries, his peers. And he was getting little parts here and there because he was connected with them, but he wasn't getting his breakout until he was in his 40s. And he has said in when he was being interviewed about The Office, he's just like, oh, thank God. I just wasn't in a space where it would have been good for me back then. I wanted it. But now, once I have it now, I'm like, oh, that's good. Hindsight is the most wonderful thing. Sometimes you don't get it in life. You don't always get to a point where you can see kind of how the dots were connected. But if you are able to keep living, little things you'll be like, oh, I'm so happy that it worked on that timeline and not the timeline I thought I wanted. In fact, you could probably do this now with a few examples in your life where you're like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't get that when I thought I wanted it. And so that's good to remind yourself of those moments too. Of like, I'm gonna work on the universe's timeline because my timeline is sometimes very off, very off. So
Thank you, Christine.
thank you for generously and courageously having this conversation. Yeah, good work, good work. And do not watch that show every week on the couch. Don't worry about it. Cricket.
Hi, I just wanted to say this. I don't know if Anna can see the chat that so many people are totally understanding where she's coming from. Because I know when you're on your phone, you can't always see everything. So I wanted to throw that in that support. It was there in the chat for you, Anna.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Ileana.
Hi, Christine.
Hi.
I was not planning on asking a question, but Anna inspired me. I am wondering about, sorry, I've had this weird, this is weird framing. That's fine. I am coming out of a big workshop week, and it was hard. It was a little bit of a trying experience, and I got through it, and I'm proud of the way that I got through it, and I rested this weekend. But now I'm sort of asking myself about reflecting on it and how much to reflect on it, and like what are the important things to ask myself, so that I don't fall into like a self-blaming pattern, and also but that I can still take lessons forward from it. Part of me just doesn't even want to touch it in my head because it was like such a feat to just get through the week. I don't know. I guess I'm just wondering if in general there are sort of like frameworks or ways. I love the 4-point thing of like, here's the 4 things to think about when you're looking at setting goals for the new year. Do you have like a 4-point looking back?
Oh, interesting. So what, give me a little context. So this was a, were they workshopping one of your plays or what was the workshop?
Yeah, so this was a new play workshop. It was a commission. It was an educational commission for a big theater in my hometown that I have a long history with. It was like, it's been so interesting. Long history with this theater, long history with the education department of this theater. They're really like responsible for me becoming a theater artist. So it was really emotional for me to be asked to do this project. The content of the project is also really close to my heart. Like it's a story about an activist who means so much to me and who my grandmother worked with. And so it's been so like dream of dreams incredible that I get to be the person that writes this story right now. And then I feel like such a jerk because so many parts of the process were so it, a big part of it was trying to keep the pain of the process away from my love for my writing and my passion for this piece. This is a program that this theater is launching that they haven't done in like 10 years. So no one knew what was happening. Like everybody it was everybody's first time doing this. And there were just a couple of hiccups in the process, and a lot of them really centered around like communication issues. There were just so many things that I wasn't told. That's sort of common as a playwright because you like jump into an institution for a week and then you leave. But it was big things. It was small things. It was things before the process started. It was things during the process. There were a lot of moments where I felt really unsupported, and like just the there are ways that we talk to artists, and like, you have to talk to me that way. The in particular, there was like after the first I walk into the room on the first day of rehearsal. And I'm used to the first read through being like the first read throughs are always the worst. It's cold for everybody, it's clunky. I walk in and there are like 28 people in the room for a 4-person play because there's an observer program that nobody told me about. And so now there's just like literally 15 people there watching who aren't part of the team at all. And there's like a bunch of people on staff who I didn't know would be there. And we do the read through, and then this woman like has a meeting that she has to go to. And so she's like, before I go to this meeting, and she fires off this like note that is, I thought so much about what this piece of feedback was. I think it is just a thing that she feels independently. It had a sort of grandstandy quality, like it was a speech that she gives on a routine basis, but it sort of made it sound like I was this terrible thing that's doing the epitome of what's wrong with community theater. And it was really just like, there's a way we talk to artists and you have to talk to me that way. And that was not framed in that way. The person who was supposed to broker feedback in the room wasn't there. There was a flight that was missed. And so the person who was supposed to be guiding the feedback wasn't there. So I just had to like graciously take that feedback and then just like move on with the day. And because she did it first, and because she's at that level of status in the room, it made everybody feel like they could tell me how to write the play. And so then
Wow.
everyone's like, and another thing, and another thing, and another, and I'm just literally sitting there gracefully taking notes. And like, it was so like people intervened at a certain point because the tenor of the conversation got so thorny, but it was really a like it was really hard to get through that day, and I literally like felt the world collapsing in on me. I went to the bathroom, cried, came back out of the bathroom, and literally immediately started revising the play. I like took it on the chin. And I feel like I was really proud of myself for processing the way that I went home. I told two friends. I didn't tell all nine friends. I told two. Went home, had a cry on my bed, and then revised the play that night, brought a new page the next day that everyone thought was very successful. Like, I know I did a really good job. But I have to keep working with these people. And on the second day, the director, bless her, oh, I'm so sorry, I missed a big part of the story. This woman gave me this big note, and she was like, "Why is all this in the play? It could be in the study guide." And I was like, "What study guide?" Because no one told me that there was a study guide that went along with the play. Like, there were things about the container of how the play worked that I wasn't told, things about where it was going that I wasn't told. So just so an astonishing amount of information that I didn't have. And so yeah, muscled through the week. By the end of it, the woman who gave that note on the first day came up to me and she was like, "Wonderful revisions. I love what you've done. You really got it. You really got what I said." And I'm like, "Oh, great. Now she's taking credit for my great revisions. Thank you so much." But like, yeah, it was like thorny and difficult. We're definitely through the hardest part of it. The workshop was for, getting the script to a certain place. I will have more revisions to do. I already have more revisions to do. There were also discoveries like they have already hired designers that I didn't approve. So there's like a little, it's such a strange mix of like, I want to maintain goodwill with this institution who could at one point produce me beyond an educational theater capacity. These are people who are going to be my collaborators in an ongoing way. This is a first trial run. And like, there was a meeting that the director held that was like, it's very clear that she's not being told some stuff. Like, my director knew that there was a study guide that went along with the play, but I didn't know that. So like she had this sort of meeting and the producers were clear that there was a communications breakdown. This is the first time they've done this. And they did, there was an apologetic tone, but not an apology. And so like I'm sort of walking away from all of this and I do kind of feel like I've been kicked. But I also feel like I did a really like good job, but there's so much like just going on, which is why, so I'm just like, what even do I do with all of these? What do I do with all these feelings and all this information? And like, how do I make peace with myself and still move forward? Part of me was like, should I have asked them if there was a, I don't know how I should have anticipated
Should
any of
you have
that.
known to ask?
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't have because this has never happened. It's also my first time doing an educational theater play, and it's my first time doing TYA, so it was like everybody's first prom.
Do you remember what those two words were we talked about last cash flow meeting? It was like clarity and security or
My
something.
things, it was safety. It was certainty and safety. I know. It's testing me. I'm being tested. Yeah.
It's not that you're being tested. It's not that you're being tested,
Okay.
but you were going through a whole experience that was kind of antithetical to both of those things. You did not have safety. Your
Yeah.
personal shield wasn't there, and you didn't have certainty because you're like, what? And when you don't have your things, it's like, I plan to show up as an A plus student, but if I don't know what the assignment is, and you're not telling me that, and now I need to stop everybody and let them know my history of being an A plus student because this is out of the ordinary, but you don't get that opportunity. And then you're like, what is this? And you weren't able to show up in the way that you anticipated and expected being and wanted to be able to show up. And so you went into this experience that it's certainty and safety that was just couldn't have been better designed to hit those two things. Okay. And so what do we know about it? You totally handled it like a pro. You totally handled it like a pro. You didn't throw a fit. You processed your emotions. You took it on the chin and were able to do your creative art. It wasn't, you didn't let it block your ability to do the art of it, the revisions. You clearly understand what the deficits were on their end. And you also graciously understand it's everybody's first prom. But you'd have to give me such an ugly dress, thank you very much, and take my picture in it. Like, oh, yeah. So if you could handle that, oh my God. Like, oh my God. And it's hard going through it, but it's only by going through it that we start to get an idea of who we are. And it's like, oh, I actually don't actually have to have certainty and safety in order to do my work and in order to be professional and in order for this project to be a success. I want it because it would be better for everyone if I had it. They would get better revisions. And of course, like, of course. Of course, but often you don't have control. And that is so hard for someone who's so capable. You could have run that show much better. Yeah, that's the worst. It's like, oh my God, this is a shit show and I could have totally run it so better. But sometimes you're just not in control. And when you find that that's the case and you're like, whoa, then what you get to do is you get to decide to dial up or down the amount of energy you're going to give this. Instead of just being the good girl and giving 110%. Like, well, I don't know. It seems to me like an 85% kind of day or project or whatever. You know, that's what you get to control, your dials. You have no control over anything else, but you can control your dials to protect yourself and to compensate for the lack of safety and what was the other word?
Certainty.
Certainty. Yeah. So it's like, okay, that's not here. So I'm going to adjust my dials to kind of self-regulate and do the do. And it's disappointing. You were excited. It was like, this is amazing. It's my hometown. Like, this is a great thing. And they'll have their shit together. And it's like, what? So it's really disappointing. But it sounds like there's beyond the reflection we just did of like, okay, what really happened? And why was I so like, because my certainty and my safety. And yet I stepped up to the plate. And that's about the reflection you need to do is, oh, that was a shit show. And that didn't have much to do with me. When it doesn't always have stuff to do with you, and when it really doesn't have a lot to do with you, you don't have to reflect on it a lot because that was not your circus, completely not your monkeys, and you know, whatevs. So I don't think there's a lot. I think so now, because it's not over, and you have to go back. This isn't about, oh God, how am I going to make it through it? You could definitely feel like I would rather not, but now that we're in it and doing it. So you just adjust your dials and lower your expectations. Which is always unfun because you know you're going to have to devote time and energy to this. It's not going to meet your expectations. That doesn't mean the end result might not be glorious, because you know, sometimes it looks like a shit show all the way until opening night, and you're like, oh, everyone's happy. But lower your expectations. It is what it is. And you are but a part of it, so you don't have the control.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
Good.
The lowering expectations is hard. And I think I think where I have a little bit of resistance to the turning down the dial part is like I do want to do a good play.
Right.
But it's like turning down the dial of my energy in the room or like the amount that I give energetically.
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked about, or I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not about like, oh, well, it's not to my standard, so I'm just going to turn down the work. It's not that, or I'm just like not going to give a fuck. It's not that. It's just, you know, oh, I don't have to invest so much care And you, of course, are going to try, you are going to write the best you can through this process for you. But that's a very different dial than trying to impress people or trying to get certain, a review of a certain kind. Like, yeah, that's all like, well, that's might not happen. But for my own self, of course, because you're a professional and you're an artist and you are going to do the best, but it's very different doing it for you. If
Okay,
this
that makes
had
sense.
like been, if all the pieces had been in place and she hadn't gone off in that monologue that set the weird tone and that the safety person had been there and could like, do it and it was just great and everybody was great and it was like you were getting great notes and you're like, oh my God, this is like firing neurons and this was a great thing. Oh, all the dials are up, like, hey, and it's disappointing that that's not what it was. Okay, so we adjust the dials and we go through the rest of the process and we get what we can get out of it for our own growth, for ourselves. Sometimes you walk into something, you're like, oh, I thought this was going to be for all of us, but it's just going to be for me. That's me like turning down the dials. Like, what do I need to get from this? I'll get it. And then I'm gonna go. And
Got
you'll
it.
whatever you want.
Got it.
It's super exciting when it can be like, oh, this is for all of us. And it's just gonna be bigger than the sum of the parts. And this is one of those occasions where it's like, oh, well, my part's gonna be good, but
Yeah, I appreciate that. The I feel like I got like right up to the edge of resentment, but I didn't quite tip over the line because I do think it was like in many ways I'm grateful that the content of the play was something that was so personal and important to me because it helped me like I wasn't thinking about her notes when I was revising, which helped.
And if I'm pulling this out to the big picture perspective, like very wide, I think it's really interesting that we just had a conversation about certainty and safety. And the universe is like, Ileana, we want the best for you. Like, we see what you desire in this life. And to get there, especially in this day and age, your grip on thinking safety and certainty is what's going to get you there has to loosen. And you have told us you would like this sooner than later. You would like to move along sooner. Oh, when you ask the universe to speed things up, they're like, okay, hold my beer because we're going to have to really like, okay. And I feel that's what they just did for you. It's like, okay, we're going to take this opportunity. And one of the things from the bigger picture perspective is to just let her experience. She can get herself through things that don't have uncertainty. And that is an important thing to know about yourself. Big muscles and big tool in your toolkit for the world as we know it now. Doesn't have a lot of safety or certainty. So we need you to be strong and say, I bring the safety and certainty. It doesn't have to always be in the environment. I bring it.
Yeah, that really rests. The one thing that like I felt really good about before the workshop and that stayed consistent throughout was like I know how to revise a play. Like I know I can write well and I know that I can find this thing and like the idea that I bring the safety and security is really, oh man, that's going in the journal. That's going in the journal. Thank you.
And let's all acknowledge, because I think this is another important point. Anybody, Christopher Nolan, David Fincher, whoever, like your favorite writers and directors, if they had a reading of the film that they were working on or the play that they're working on, and a group of 50 or even 10 people were allowed to let it rip with no, they would tear it apart. Anything could be torn apart by a group of people who were just allowed to kind of not even out of any kind of badness, but everything can be picked apart. Everything. If people are like, oh, are we allowed to pick? Because it's fun. It's fun to pick apart. It's so much easier to be the critic than the creator. Yeah. It's so much harder to start with a blank piece of paper than something that someone's already written. And we can let just like, yeah. So that's another great story to tell yourself is like, when it's the tone is out of bounds, anything would have been picked apart. Yeah. So that had nothing to do with your work necessarily. You took the notes that you needed to take because you're a professional. But the whole how it went down, that would have happened to anybody. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks, Christine. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This was really helpful.
Oh, good. I think it's a really, really interesting thing to talk about here. We got 10 minutes left. Anybody else? Or do we feel complete? Hi, Lynn.
Hi, this is my first visit. Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah, just
Welcome.
joined. So I know this is creating cash flow, but I just have a mindset sentence that I found in my brain, and I want to work on it with you because this is fun. I have done a lot of mindset kind of work and things, and so this is I want to okay, just gonna say it. So the sentence that I found this week is, it's different up there. Meaning, at the levels of quote unquote, I'll quote unquote everything, the levels of success that I look up to or that I get scared by or that I think are bigger or not playing small, et cetera, that somehow there's a connection in my brain where it's different than regular life or what I'm used to or capable of or whatever. So, very specifically, let's just talk about specifics. Is I've been with my current agent for like the last time I counted, it was 13 years. So yeah, about that. And commercial and theatrical. She wasn't always my theatrical. I couldn't get a theatrical. Then I was like, "Hey, would you rent me a theatrical?" She's like, "I could try." And I got my, third, fourth, fifth co-star, first guest star, first recurring together, little by little. And then
Congrats.
commercially, thank you. Yes, it's very exciting. And then commercially, she's like a small little person that just gets me out, and sometimes I book and sometimes I don't. And I did a consult with a casting director this week, and I asked outright, "Am I playing small with this rep?" And she said, "Yes."
Okay.
So I feel a lot of loyalty because of what we built together, and I've enjoyed her humanity. Like, I made a mistake on how I paid her, she made a mistake on how she paid me, we just fixed it. Like, there's a lot of easefulness. I also just had I have a 3-year-old, and so in this last few years it hasn't been top priority to like let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And now I'm feeling that. So that's a little bit of a specific example of like I could technically reach out to a few more higher level commercial reps. I could do that this week if I wanted, and I just have felt this massive resistance for that for years. And then feeling that sense of like, oh, I think it's different. I think it's different at a higher level, or I won't really be me, or it'll be too hard, or something like that. So.
Oh, you're using the word different in that sentence to mean like it's just not something that will fit me like a glove.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Like this is where I'm supposed to be, 'cause that it's
Because
different.
I am sick, just like safety, security, right? Like, I'm safe here. I know how to manage this. Or, like, they're mean up there. Yeah, you got
Yeah,
it.
just all the things. Mean, it'll be taken advantage of. It'll be great for a minute, but then the rug will be pulled out from under me. Like, whatever.
I won't be capable of,
That's just your
like,
little lizard coming out, being like, oh, here's all the reasons to stay in the cave. Yeah, so all the reasons. But let me just say something. It is perfectly fine. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. It is perfectly fine to not go there, to just stay here with this agent. Like that's okay. That is like okay. There's no moral failing that you're like, maybe I don't want to go there. I don't know. There's no problem unless you're feeling your soul kind of knocking on the door, going, "You know what? Can we try that? I'm kind of curious. I'm curious." And then we get distressed when our soul wants one thing and our lizard's like, "No, do not listen to that little voice." You know? So this is only an issue if there's part of you that is starting to be curious and want to know what that might be like. So where are you at?
I've on that inner scale, like there was a time when I was like, should I look for her? And my soul was like, stay. No, this is exactly right. And I'm like, well, I trust that. And now the loyalty piece, and I feel like it feels
We'll
right to
talk
say
about that.
like I'm feeling more loyal to her than to my potential. But I also had a conversation with a friend like year and a half ago, 2 years ago, who was like, got a different rep, go. And I was like, I know I should, you know. So I they're clearly, it's very like, it's a quiet. I'm not sure I would say soul, like, can I even hear my soul right now over the la la
You
la
heard the
la
laugh.
la la la? Yeah, I did. I
We would
did.
not be having this conversation if there wasn't part of
Yes, sure. Okay, great. Yes,
it.
obviously.
I'm
Yes. So
curious.
there's a desire.
Yeah, there's a desire, which is so natural. And, it's sort of like what Anna was talking about before with the butterfly and the cocoon.
Oh,
We're
yeah.
physical beings. We're not just this flat linear trajectory. No. And so there's going to be ebbs and flows to your life. And after an expansion, what comes after an expansion? A contraction. And contraction isn't bad. It's just what happens after an expansion because this is how we flow, the tides, And you're entering a period where it's feeling like, I think this is the time. And the worst feeling, one of the worst feelings on earth is knowing something, knowing it's time to make a move and not making the move. Oh, that's what eats people
Yeah.
up. So let's talk about the loyalty. Now, this is something that is true in all relationships, personal relationships, business relationships. It's very highlighted in this particular industry. It is very sad and hard when people grow at different speeds. That can be so hard when you're married to someone and in partnership and you realize, oh, we were going along together and either one's starting to grow or you're growing in different directions. Sometimes it can be different directions, but what we're talking about here is different speeds. Sometimes you hear people accept an award and they're like, oh, I want to thank my agent or manager. We've been together for like 20 years. The only reason that's possible is that at first, when that actor signed with that agent or that rep, the rep was a little bit ahead of the actor. Then the actor got a job, a little higher profile. And then that rep used that to leverage and make more relationships.
Level their own
They were
skills.
able to keep up with the growth. But that rep was internally motivated to expand to the degree that the actor also wanted to expand. But this wonderful person who was the right person for you at this past point in your life, I don't know her. Maybe she's like comfortable where she's at, or she doesn't have a desire to expand, or she's a little afraid of like, ooh, making contact. 'Cause they have to do the same fucking thing actors have to do. It's like, I gotta go out and have drinks and make contact and like meet new people and leverage my clients' work and try. Like they have that strategic marketing work. And some people are like, no, that's not the part of agenting I like or being a rep. I want to do this other stuff. I like bonding with my clients. I like doing, like, that's what I, not everybody excels at the same things. So you are growing now in a way that she hasn't or doesn't want to or can't. We don't know. And that's so sad because as a big-hearted person, you just want to take everybody with you. And that's people often sabotage their success in any industry, but especially this one because it's such a
Social.
social, exactly. So it's like when you get successful, you break away from your pack. You break away from your pack. And you can't often take everybody. And that's why you see some stars and they have their family and it's like they're trying to take, but everybody doesn't have the skill set to grow. Self-growth is hard. People don't want to do it. It's the minority of people who are want to do the hard work, like Ileana just described the
Yeah,
hard work of
fuck.
self-growth. And people are like, no, thank you. Opt out. So if you're one of those people who want expansion and self-growth, you're going to outpace a lot of people in your life, and you're going to have to say goodbye and have conversations like the one you're going to have with this person that can be lovely, but it's also sad because you'd love to stay with her forever, your forever agent, but that would require stuff of her right now that's not happening.
Or it would require me to be content with.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're just at different places. So you are going to start having meetings, start looking around, sniffing around.
Oh, you're speaking into my future, Christine.
And then at some point, you're going to be like, I have an opportunity that I can't pass up. And it's kind of breaking my heart because we've had such a great run together. And I will be forever grateful that you signed me when you did, and you took a chance on me. And it allowed me to grow to this point where this opportunity of signing with this other person has come in. And I can't not take it, but I am so grateful for what the part you've played in my story. So you honor the person and you make a clean break. Don't muddy the
I've
fucking
made a
water.
decision.
I'm taking this opportunity. An opportunity has come along that I cannot refuse. So I'm going to take it. Yeah. And you know what? This might be providing this person with an opportunity for self-growth of themselves. I'm just being like, okay, how do I handle this? But if they can't handle it, they should not be in the business they're in.
Right.
Like, yeah. So you have to respect her as a businesswoman and be like, this is part of business. This isn't the first time a client has walked away for whatever reason. It won't be the last. She's dropped people too, by the way. She'd drop you in a hot minute if you weren't adding to her bottom line.
Right.
Yeah. So it's business. It's lovely that you had a great business relationship, and there was that kind of like camaraderie and supportive nature to it. That's
Right.
just icing on the cake, but the cake is business. So if you are feeling like you're curious about what's out there, go for it, man. You only have one life to live in this lovely particular package that is Lynn. So go have some adventures. And you have no idea what she's even thinking about for her future. She might be thinking right now, I'm going to stop this agenting business in a
Yeah,
year. And then she'd be like, hey guys, you have
totally.
no idea. And you guys have no idea how your paths will cross again, because she might get a client that helps her then climb the ranks easier. And then you would have this connection, or she might go from an agent to a manager, or she may become an executive, like it happens all the time. So it's like, this is a great relationship and it was for this point in time. And I'm so curious how our paths will cross in the future. I would look forward to it immensely. I wish you all the best. And if nothing else, you will be role modeling for her adult communication, loving communication, and a generous way of looking at this. Yeah. And this is great because the more you do things like this that are really hard and painful, you're going to be able to teach your kid how to do the same things, it's important to know how to extricate yourself out of a situation that you're no longer right for. And that could be any kind of relationship. It's like some people just don't have the capacity to do that, and they stay in way past the point where it's healthy in many different ways. So this is.
I'm remembering I did take a meeting with somebody like 2018 or 19, where it was like it would have to be a like a across the board situation. And I went into that meeting, she's like, okay, I'm gonna have you read this commercial copy, but like, why are you leaving your current rep? And I was like, listen, I love my commercial rep. And she literally got pissed at me. She's like, why are you even here then? Like, why are you here? I was like, whoa, I'm willing to like talk about moving across, but I just, like that was not my ideal, but it's part of it. And I didn't even read the commercial copy, and I left, and I was like, well, that was a weird meeting. And then I wrote her a note that was like, I apologize if you felt like I was wasting your time. I was just trying to be really honest with where I was. And she wrote back, you're a class act. I just wish you all the best. And even that was like, oh, okay, I was able to navigate that. And just, I can own even that weird moment, but I got like really lovely feedback to be like, I appreciated how you navigated what was strange. And to be like, I'm a class act. I can be a class act here. I can be a class act in the future. I will be a class act. Class act, class act. Thanks. Thank you very, very
Good
much.
one.
I hope that was helpful for other people too.
I'm
Ooh.
sure it wasn't, but it was fun to talk.
Yes,
And I'm very, very happy for you that you're entering this chapter of expansion. Go for it. It'll be great. You'll have a lot of adventure. So thank you, everybody. That's it for today. And so in 2 weeks' time, we reconvene on the 19th. Nope. It's not the 19th. It's the 16th because I'm looking at October. And Kate, okay,
And I'm
maybe
just
I should
nodding
do
along,
this
so
part.
there we
Maybe
go.
I should do this part of the thing. This is her specialty. Okay. Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Great topics. Thank you, Christine.
Thanks, Kate.